Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, here. Sorry.
Oh, I was just playing that for all South Carolina teams.
But wait. I thought it was just little old Vanderbilt. Just little old Vanderbilt. They just little old Vanderbilt. We ain't worried about Diego Pavia. Just little old Vanderbilt. And Rob Brown said, hey, you boys better ready. You better be ready-o.
Yeah. I mean,
just little old Vandy.
You can do this, and that's fine. And I probably deserve that. But Lenore Sellers went out in the first half.
Buddy,
changes everything.
Were they not getting their asses kicked already?
No, they were not. What was the score
were.
When he went out?
What was that offense doing?
What was the score when he went out?
We are 3 games into the season.
What was the score when he went out?
Pop quiz.
Yeah, I asked you a question. You ain't going to answer that question?
No, because that team was not playing good football before he went out. Pop quiz, how many offensive touchdowns has South Carolina scored in 3 weeks? How many offensive touchdowns have they scored in 3 weeks? Not special teams, not defense. How many offensive touchdowns? Don't worry, I know the answer. Four touchdowns in 3 weeks. Four.
Okay, what's your point?
Against Virginia Tech, who just lost to Old Dominion this weekend.
Powerhouse.
Old Dominion. Powerhouse. They are, because they came to South Carolina last year, gave them all they wanted, and I was like, hey, that's not great, Bob. Old Dominion just beat Vitek, team you struggled with. Then you went up against SC State. You needed special teams to bail your ass up out of that one, and I came into the weekend saying, hey, I know everybody's talking about South Carolina. I get it. I understand it. I'm about to tell you.
So you're coming in here, basically laughing at South Carolina. I mean, you're just destroying the Gamecocks. First off, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
That was a bleep poor performance in every angle. And here's the thing. Yeah, Lenoris went out. That's fine. That's cool. That's good. I get it. I understand it. That's tough. That's rough.
You're not dressed like someone. You can't be acting like someone.
I don't need to be dressed like anybody to act like me.
Well, next thing you know, you're going to say your brownies are burnt and talk about bikinis.
No, here's what I'm going to talk about. What I'm going to talk about is, I get it. Lenoris went out. That's not why I'm upset. I'm not even upset about the L.
Oh, I'm upset that he went out. I mean, and the fact that they almost let it go without a targeting call. That was ugly. And also some of the worst officiating I've seen. The officiating was bad the entire weekend, but it was pretty bad in that game.
I mean, whenever you're done wallowing in excuses.
Oh, I'm giving you reasons. Vanderbilt looked good. They're ranked. Vanderbilt could win. Where are they ranked in the SEC? Number one, right?
At the top.
Yeah,
they have an SEC win.
Vanderbilt's number one in the SEC, so you're poo pooing a loss to the number one team in
no.
the SEC.
See, I'm gonna get there. Here's what I'm doing. Once Lenoris went down, your team rolled over, went belly up, and played like a bunch of cowards. That's where I'm going.
Cowards.
Yes.
Coward.
That team played.
Were they taking cheap shots?
That team. Like,
that's what a coward does.
That
I mean,
team played like they didn't.
They may have lost their will because their leader went down. That happens a lot when you're counting so much.
Is that acceptable?
I just want to say that doesn't make them cowards.
Is that acceptable?
No, it shouldn't happen. Somebody else should step up.
And what
and take
do
over
we
that
call
leadership.
It when there is a need for Dude, somebody to step up and figure it out and no one does?
It's not a good word to use for that.
Okay. I'll be the bad guy. Heel turn, segment one. I'll be the bad guy. When he goes down and that team cannot find a guy. I respect the effort from Luke Doty, but I got my dude out of here throwing 40 yarders into quadruple coverage.
I get you respect, but you should expect what you've been saying all year long is that the Gamecocks go as Lenora Sellers goes, and let's hope he doesn't get hurt. You've already been saying that, and now you're being proven right that the team can't seem to win without him. And here's the thing. When your leader, someone, again, this is your guy, when he goes down, your spirits are going to drop some.
Yeah,
it's going to cause you to not play
over,
as well.
Go belly up. Don't fight.
Cowardice it was not.
Okay, so listen, if you want to take offense to the word, that's fine.
That's what I am taking offense
to. That's fine. My point's still correct. You can call it a different word if you want to call it. Call it a different word.
That's very hot take-ish, calling it cowardice.
All right, that's my take.
Okay.
An anti-hot take guy, that's my take.
Well, now, so maybe things are turning. Maybe we're now hot take radio.
No, we're not.
I can handle it if we are.
If there is a need for somebody, anybody, to step up and fill the void, as I've said a million times about a million teams in a million games, I don't take exception to a loss to a good team. And I think that I may have been the only dude, I'm not going to say in the area, but I'm going to say I feel relatively comfortable I am. I think I'm the only dude that went into the weekend going, hey, Vandy's not a bad team. They're not a good team.
Yeah, you're the only guy in the room, at least. You can at least go that far. 100%, you're the only guy in the room.
I'll take the credit where I can get it.
Because I was going the opposite, obviously.
Yeah, I'll take the credit where I can get it. But even with that, the offense taken is not in a loss to Vanderbilt. Because, and again, the whole rationale to me behind it was very much, hey, this team's good. And not only is this team good, but this team is good, and they want to come into this game, go into your stadium, which everybody has been saying, yo, Willie B's different. That's a different kind of vibe, man. That's like a different spot. Everybody has been talking this offseason about how Willie B is special, about how Willie B is different. And it is. I've been there. I've done it. It 1,000% is. But when you have that level of notoriety, when everybody's talking about how your home field advantage is different, is special, is unique, the vibes are high, you've got to expect that everybody wants to come up in your crib and put boot to ass and prove to you that they're them dudes. And that is exactly the type of that dude that Diego Pavia is. Those types of games are the bread and butter. Those Alabama games, those Auburn games, those A&M games, those are the games where he goes, look, we're not going to get a lot of love from most people. Because most people are going to go, oh, that's just little old Vanderbilt. The same old whipping boys they've always been. They take offense to that. And Clark Lee, as I have been shouting from the mountaintops for north of a year now, he's that motivator. He's that dude that can take that and can get it injected into the veins of the Vanderbilt Commodore football team. And they ride that high off of it. So I spent last week saying, hey, South Carolina, if you come into this all lackadaisical-like, if you come into this with that mentality of, all right, SEC game, easy win over the doors. If you come in with that mentality, somebody about to get their ass kicked. Somebody about to get their wig split. I said, Lenora Sellers goes down. Trust me. As the dude with the offseason take all year of, look, I think this team's good. But in terms of any opportunity to make it to the postseason, as goes Lenoris, goes the Cox. Watch it. Book it. He goes down. I understand it. You were not in a, it wasn't like he went down and you're down 24-3. He went down, you're in a ball game. Okay, and I get that.
You made it sound like that they were being destroyed.
No.
Dude, I mean, go back and listen to the
thing. I don't need to. I know what I'm saying. I'm me saying it.
Okay.
Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is what I did not expect. The unexpected part of this wasn't a loss to Vanderbilt. The unexpected part is when Lenoris Sellers went down. When Lenoris Sellers got hurt, this team looked S-A-W-F-T, soft. When Lenoris went down, it is one thing for somebody like me to say, as goes Lenoris, goes the Gamecocks. That's one thing. That's kind of part of the game. You know it's not okay if they believe that? That football team. You can know. If you're on the team, I understand. You're no dummy. You know that this Heisman Trophy finalist is your ticket to the postseason. You got that. I understand it. But here's what you have to realize. If he goes down, fingers crossed, vibes up, that Lenoris is okay. They kept throwing around the concussion word. When he was walking off the field, it looked to me like he was holding the rib. Because I didn't see, again, not a doctor, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. That hit he took wasn't a super violent hit, and it didn't look like he racked the noggin on the turf after he took it.
I think his head was sideways, so when it hit,
maybe
probably hit his temple.
I don't know.
That was my guess.
It looked to me like when he was coming off the field, he was holding the ribs, right? Like he was grabbing that flak jacket.
It looked to me like he didn't know where he was.
Maybe so. I don't know. And there's no need for us to speculate about what the injury is until South Carolina says it was ribs, it was a concussion, it was something else. I don't know. I don't care. That football team in that moment.
By the way, almost every outlet is saying two head injury.
Okay, we'll find out. Maybe it is. Let's assume it is. Here's what I know. What I know is in that game, in that moment, when he goes down, that football team needs to have a let's win one for the Gipper moment. Let's go get this one for our guy. Let's go get this one for our dog. Let's go win this for Lenoris so that hopefully, fingers crossed, he can go get some R&R, rest up, be ready to roll next week. Because now that game on the road at Mizzou this weekend, every game for the next three, every game of the next three, sorry, two, because I said the first five. The next two games are now must-win games. It's not a loss in the next two games. As far as making the playoffs goes, your season's done. You lose either in the next two games. As far as making the playoffs go, you're done. Honestly, I'm going to stick with what I said preseason, that anything less than 5-0 in the first five, and you're not going to the playoffs. I think South Carolina got eliminated from the playoffs this weekend. But a lot of football left. Maybe there's some sort of rally and recover. However, in that moment, when Lenoris goes down, he gets helped to the sidelines. Out comes Shano. The reports are at halftime. He's done. He's not returning to this football game. What I want to see out of a team that is trying to convince me and everyone else that they have elevated to the next level of college football, that they're not little old South Carolina anymore, that they are now a force that is on an upward trajectory. I need to see a team that comes out and bashes skulls. I need to see a team that comes out and goes belt to ass to prove that that's who they are. And instead, what I got was a team that sent my Gamecock-loving wife to bed earlier because she was like, They're not trying. Like, they just don't look like they have it, whatever it is. They don't look like they have any heart. They don't look like they have any gas. Those are my words, not hers. She got up as we were watching this game. She's like, hey, I'm gonna go down and watch Law & Order SVU. And I was like, why? You're like it's a ball game. And she's like, it doesn't even look like they're trying. And that was the same takeaway I had in that moment. I didn't say that to her because I didn't want to ruin her night. But that was the takeaway I had. This team looked like when Lenoris went down, they went with him. Like when he got help back to the locker room, you might as well have helped all the other dudes back to the locker room with him. That team had zero hustle, heart, whatever at the end of that game after Lenoris Sellers went down. And if that's who you are, if you are a team that is built into the mentality, if you were a team that is bought into the mentality that if Lenores goes away, there's no point anymore, then you are not a team that is elevated to the next level. And that's unfortunately what I saw. A loss to Vanderbilt, fine. Fine. That's a good football team. They got a good quarterback. They've got a coach that was last year's SEC Coach of the Year. And honestly, he might be this year's SEC Coach of the Year. They got a dude that showed up at poor little old Vanderbilt and has turned them into a team that you better take as a legitimate threat, whoever you are. And as soon as Lenores went down, it was like that team just quit, man. I got bad play calling out of Shula. I got a defense that disappeared. You know Diego Pavia is that team. Like, you know he's that team. What is everybody that's playing South Carolina doing? Get to the QB. Added pressure, different looks, different blitzes. We gotta disrupt Lenora Sellers or we're losing this game. And it feels to me like the play calling doesn't account for that at all, but we'll put that to the side and circle back around to that later on. You know that Diego Pavia is going to gut that team to a win or they're going to lose. And I'm watching this kid run around in the third and fourth quarter and what? What are we doing? I'm sitting sunk down in the couch like, we're mid-third quarter. I'm like, this game's over. Because this dude is just out-hearting your defense. He's out gutting and he's out hustling your defense. I don't know what you want me to say about it. Like, South Carolina fans, welcome to it. If you want me to come in here and pat you on the back and tell you, hey, it's okay. You know, Lenores went down. What do you expect? Lenores went down. It happens. Good try. Good effort. Whatever. I can do that. No, I can't. I can't do that. I don't have that in me. What I can tell you is that team had a different attitude after Lenores went down. This team is supposed to be built on heart. Like, that's the whole thing about your team. You're built on Lenores Sellers and a whole bunch of dudes that want to prove that they've been disrespected. And as soon as he got helped off the field, and brought to the locker room, it's like this team had no more whatever you want to call it. No more grit, gut, heart, whatever one of those football cliches you want to go with, that just went out the window.
All right, so you've done all that, so now it's time to call for Shane's job.
No, why?
Just because there's a pattern. I mean, following a pattern of, again.
Why can't my point just be my point? Why does it have to lead down the road to an entirely new state of thought? Why can't it just be this team in one game on Saturday, this team looked like it rolled over?
It was not a good effort by the Gamecocks. And again, when you lose the heart of your team, I've been on teams where that's happened before. It's hard to recover from that when you know that this was your guy and he's down and you're worried about him. And a lot of other things are not going well on the team. And it's through osmosis. It's like passes. Everybody just collectively feels the same way and they have a bad game. And they did after he went down. They'll recover. They'll play better next week. But if you follow the pattern, you sound like a fan right now.
And no, I don't. I sound like an analyst.
In my opinion, you sound like a fan right now because you're coming down hard on the Gamecocks. I can't wait.
No, no, no. You sound like a fan. You sound like a fan going, oh, my God, you're being mean.
I don't.
Yes, I am.
I don't believe I said that that way.
Well, I also didn't say anything about Shane Beamer being fired, but you threw that on me.
I think I should start talking in the voices that you say that I sound like. No, I mean, following the progression of everything you've said, and if somebody else is talking about the Gamecocks this way, the next thing they will say is, okay, Gamecock fans, is it time for Shane Beamer to go?
Okay, well,
because obviously, you see the state of the team right now. They built the team around one person. That person went down. The rest of the team is horrible. Shane needs to go. Who should be the next coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks?
Well, am I other people or am I me?
I don't know.
Because I feel
you don't sound like you this morning.
So sure, I do.
It's just weird.
Sure, I do. Sometimes I go, that's not good enough. It's just not. If you're a South Carolina fan, here you go.
This is how you talk about the Saints. This is exactly how you talk about the Saints. So it sounds like fandom.
Okay. Whatever you want to call it, have at. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're a South Carolina fan and you are satisfied with what you saw Saturday, if you're happy with what you saw Saturday, do me a favor and holla at me right now.
And start a petition. Shane Beamer needs to go.
No, again, like I can't even come up with an analogy with what you're doing right now. Here's what I can say. Lenora Sellers went down, and I saw a team that looked soft. That's what I saw. Lenora Sellers went down, and I saw a team that gave up. And if you're a team that's going to give up and roll over because your quarterback goes down, you're not a championship team with them. It's like at the end of the Spider-Man movie where Tony Stark says, give me the suit back, and Spider-Man's like, without the suit, I'm nothing. And he goes, well, if you're nothing without it, you shouldn't have it. That's legitimately how I feel about this situation. I feel like Tony Stark this morning. And the Gamecocks are like, yo, without my Lenora, so I'm nothing. And it's like, if you're nothing without it, you shouldn't have it. That's a great reference, and I'm proud of me. Ladies and gentlemen, we got 4 hours of this crap. You ready? Buckle up. Strap in. Let's. Oh, yeah, no, Zach. We're going to get to Clemson, too. Do you think they're off the hook?
We'll see if it's the same fervor.
The difference is, I called that shot. The difference is I called that shot back in July.
You did.
I called that shot back in July, and I got laughed at. The pipe has come to collect, baby. We better have a day. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Let's go. It's the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
So I opened with the Gamecocks, and I'm going to stay there for a minute, and I'll explain why. The reason why is because I kind of feel like I saw the Georgia Tech-Clemson result coming. It was for two reasons. Number one, because of the fact that I told you all offseason that I genuinely thought Georgia Tech's a good football team. I have a bet out right now, and I have said to you before, I don't really do season-long futures tickets when I bet. I don't do season-long futures tickets because I don't like having money in my account locked up for 5+ months. I like the immediate gratification of a win or the ability to bounce back from an L real quick. So I'll start with that. Number two, the reason that I am starting off with South Carolina's loss against Vanderbilt is because I saw the Clemson result coming, and I said it after last week's game against Troy that Clemson, to me, after 2 weeks, I thought kind of showed us who they are. I think we kind of know who Clemson is. I did not really think that we were anywhere close to seeing what South, and for the record, I still don't think we're anywhere close to seeing who or what South Carolina is in the long term. I think we will learn that this Saturday against Mizzou, especially depending on the health and reliability and availability of Lenora Sellers. We'll circle back around to that. The third reason is because the one thing I did not think that I would be questioning today, even if you lost to Vanderbilt, because again, I said both of these teams were on upset alert this weekend, and I got a little pushback to that. I'm not shocked that Vanderbilt won that game, and I got news for you. Vanderbilt's going to beat somebody else that's good in the SEC this year. Like, they got another big win like that in them somewhere down the line. I'm a big Diego Pavia guy. I'm a big Clark Lee guy. I can't wait for the videos to drop on social today of whatever it is Clark Lee said in the pregame, at halftime, and in the postgame. There were a bunch of videos going around on Friday and Saturday of Vanderbilt. There was a huddle at the end of one of their practices last week where one of the dudes was out there leading the huddle, and they were like, yo, South Carolina on three. Like, that was their huddle break. And somebody goes, yo, why South Carolina? And one of their players said, because they're in the way of the mission. And like, ordinarily, if somebody said, yo, South Carolina on three, I'd be like, yeah, a little disrespectful. But when homeboy dropped the bar because they're in the way of the mission, I was like, yup, this is why I said last week, y'all better be right or Vandy will get you. And then there was another cat, one of their offensive linemen, who was asked about the defensive line. He's like, yo, you know, they got a good defensive line, right? Like, how do you feel about this squad across the DL? And he goes, yeah, I know they're whatever. And he was specifically being asked about, I don't remember which one of them it was, but about one of the defensive linemen who had been on a tear. And he's like, yeah, I know they're whatever. He's whatever. They're whatever. Oh, it's Dylan Stewart. That's who they were getting asked about. Like, yo, how do you feel about this cat? He's like, yeah, I know he's whatever. And a lot of South Carolina fans took exception to that. And I'm like, guys, I don't think you understand. That's not saying it because they're talking smack. That's saying it because they believe it.
Well, we're about to find out not in the next 2 weeks. They play Georgia State, then they play Utah State, then they play ranked teams the rest of the way except for Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, but it's the SEC, so there are a ton of ranked teams. And all the teams that they're playing are not ranked really high except for LSU. And I guess Alabama at 14.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm not super high on LSU despite the win. You got five turnovers. You got five picks off DJ Lagway, and you won by 10. You got five intercept, five.
So the formula that you said for South Carolina would apply for Vanderbilt also.
Yeah. For the record, on paper, South Carolina's a more talented team than Vanderbilt. You know what the difference is right now, this morning, Monday, September 15th, you know what the difference is right now? Vandy's got a bunch of grit and heart, and South Carolina rolled over and went belly up. That's the difference right now. I'm not saying that can't change. I'm not saying that will be the case week in and week out. I am saying that's what happened on Saturday. That's how that game played out. Lenoris went down, and that team went belly up. That's what happened. We can talk about play calling. In fact, Patrick is in our live stream chat right now, and he said, play calling was terrible. We haven't scored more than 17 points with Shula calling plays. It's not time for Beamer to go, but he needs to have a microscope on Shula. Could not agree more. Could not agree. For the record, because accountability is important on the Rob Brown Show, I was in on the hire of Shula. I was like, okay, I like this. Pro style with Lenoris, I like this. But I'll tell you where I'm at now. I'm not in. And I'm not in right now because it feels to me like Shula is trying to turn Lenoris Sellers into what he's not, a pocket passer of a quarterback. Does anybody else feel that way, or is it just me? It feels to me like the offense that Shula is dialing up is about turning Lenoris Sellers into a pocket passing quarterback. I said to Lulu Kessin last Thursday, I'm like, yo, Do you think that we will see what I personally think we need to see, which is a lot more designed runs for Lenore Sellers? I'm not asking you to run him into the teeth of linebacking core. I'm just saying, can we get him getting to the outside? Can we shift the pocket left and right? And it feels to me like we are running an NFL offense. Five guys with a kickback into pass pro, and Lenore is standing and stepping up in the pocket to deliver. That's not his game. It's not good enough. And yet, here we go in this into the Vanderbilt game. When you are you can outclass them on defense. You can outclass them. And it was like we're running just a traditional pocket set passing offense. The reason I bring it up is because there was one thing about this football team I didn't think I was going to question this year. I figured there would be a couple of games where I might question Lenore Sellers. I figured there would be a few games where I would question the wide receivers. There would absolutely be games I would question the running backs. There would be games where I questioned the defensive backs. A lot of talent you had to replace back there. There would be games where I had to question the linebackers. Hell, there might be a game or two I questioned the pass rush because the SEC's got some quarterbacks in it. The one thing about this football team I did not think I was going to question was that they'd ever roll over. I'd question the heart. I didn't think I would do that. And I was questioning the heart of this team 3/4 of the way through the third quarter. I'm like, this team give up? Like, can we just go ahead and blow the whistle and go home? But there's other football games on. I can move on over and watch those if you guys don't care. And that's how it felt.
It did have the smell of a Will Muschamp game.
Sure did. That's a great call. That's a great call.
After Lenore's went down. I still think if Lenore's was in there, they would have put forth more effort and would have had a better shot at winning the game.
But that's the problem.
Nothing against Luke Doty either. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
But Luke Doty's a 12th-year senior. Like, I'm going to say this respect. I got a lot of respect for Luke Doty. Right? Like, he is the ideal model of what all of you hangers-on have said you are wanting in college football. I want a guy loyal to the program and sticks around and all that.
Sure, making that sound negative.
Because it is. But let me say this.
Loyalty is not negativity.
No. The hangers
on.
Okay. The hangers on I'm negative about. Not loyalty. You want to be loyal? I got a lot of respect for that. Let me say this with all due respect to Luke Doty. There's a reason he's a 6-year guy. Like, there's a reason. It's because he's not going to the NFL. He's not going to the CFL. He's a great human being. He's just not a great ball player. But that's the spot where you go, Luke, we're going to pick you up. We are going to do everything in our power to make it easy for you. And you didn't do that. That's the one thing I didn't think I was going to question was the heart of this team. And that's all I could do Saturday after that game. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got some South Carolina talk in. We'll talk some Clemson. We got to get to the NFL. Busy football weekend. We are breaking it all down this morning on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Texter said, I'm a Gamecock fan. It was very disheartening to see their lack of play Saturday, especially after Lenoris got hurt. Is it the end of the world? No. Will we bounce back? You bet your ass we will. Mizzou will find out how resilient this team is Saturday. Go Cox. That is from Mike. Mike, appreciate that text. Thanks for checking in. Along with all of you 6 a.m.ers that are with us in the opening hour of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate, you can be a part of the radio program this a.m. The phone number and the Hub City Spartanburger text line are 844-326-3663, 844-FAN-FONE. I want to be abundantly clear. Sometimes you do your best work after you get kicked in the nads. Sometimes it brings a little something-something out you.
Not directly after. Because it takes
metaphorically speaking.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, metaphorically speaking. I don't know about you. I would probably not do my best work after literally being kicked in the nads.
Having been kicked there a few times, it takes a little while to recover.
What was that teacher's name? sometimes you have to go through, and I know this is very coach speak, but I also think anybody with some life experience, which, of course, I have plenty of at this point, anybody who has some life experience knows sometimes you just got to get gut checked. Sometimes you just got to get punched in the mouth to figure out exactly who you are and exactly how you're going to respond. This is why I always make fun of the cosplay dorks. Because, like, you're talking so much smack about how much of a Billy Badass you are. I don't pretend like I would know how I would react in a fight because I've never been in a fight.
I'm trying to figure out what this has to do with cosplay.
Like the dorks that walk around downtown in their bulletproof vest and big old rifles hanging out. And I'm like, all right, Billy Badass, like, relax. All right. You don't know what you're going to do.
I haven't been downtown in a while. I wasn't aware that it had gone militant.
No, it hasn't. A couple of dorks have. All right. And I see that. And I'm like, you have, like, stop. Just stop. All right. It is. Sometimes you just got to get into a fight to figure out what you're going to do when you get into a fight. And I'm South Carolina fans. If you came into this year with expectations of, I won't say being in, I'll say getting into fighting your way into a playoff spot. As far as I am concerned, your back is now against the wall. Because the take from me was 5-0 through the gate. But I also expected that this team would be talented enough to heart themselves, gut themselves to 5-0. I didn't think it'd be perfect. In fact, I figured there'd be an ugly game in there somewhere. But having an ugly game because you're off, having an ugly game because the chemistry is not there, having an ugly game that dorks with microphones like me come in on Monday and we go, oh, you know, it wasn't what you wanted, but you got the dub and we change up some play calling, maybe change some things schematically, maybe change this, change that, things are going to be so much better. All that part and parcel, I would get that. Play calling was bad in this game. Play calling has been bad through three games. This is why, again, I think the thing that jumps off the record at me so far, you played three games. One of them was against an ACC team that lost, didn't lose to Old Dominion, got it handed to them by Old Dominion this weekend. Probably got their coach fired on Saturday. In fact, I kind of need to check because at this point, I'm relatively sure that we are going to see at some point they did fire Brent Pry. They fired him yesterday. Yeah, no, of course they did. They started 0-3 and they lost. And again, even 0-3, 1-3, maybe you're okay. You put up a fight against South Carolina. Yeah, you got hammered by Vandy. But you got hammered by Old Dominion. So you started off with a bad Virginia Tech team, a Virginia Tech team that got Brent Pry fired 3 weeks into the season. There are now two coaches that have been canned. 0-3 Virginia Tech, who lost to Old Dominion, and 0-3 UCLA, who lost to, I don't know, back-to-back. The only thing I do know is back, I think New Mexico State. They have lost to back-to-back, sorry, got hammered by back-to-back Mountain West Conference teams now out of the Big Ten. Hammered by back-to-back Mountain West teams. And they lost to Utah in the opener by like 60. Two coaches have been fired.
Every time I read or hear about UCLA being in the Big Ten,
it's still weird.
Because I forgot.
There are a few teams that the transition to their new conference has taken for me, and a few that haven't. UCLA has not. But they got their coach fired. Brent Pry now fired at Virginia Tech. So you had game number one against the bad ACC team, that just lost to Old Dominion and got their coach fired. You had game two against South Carolina State. And you had game three against the team that, while I did spend last week telling you, that's a good football team. Diego Pavia is a good quarterback. Clark Lee might. If Clark Lee wants out of Vanderbilt, he could be coaching at Florida yesterday if he wanted to. Do you think for a second right now that Florida couldn't pony up the cash to get Billy Napier out and to get Clark Lee in? I'm going to tell you right now, if Clark Lee wants out of Vanderbilt, if the money's important to Clark Lee, Clark Lee's coaching a major Power 5 institution next year. He's that guy. So, it's a good Vandy team. It's also a Vandy team that I don't remember off the top of my head, but I believe they were finished to pick 9th or 10th, somewhere around there, maybe even lower, in the preseason poll of SEC final standings. Between a bad ACC team, South Carolina State, and a team picked to finish well in the bottom of the Southeastern Conference, with a game at a neutral site in Atlanta and two games at home in Willie B, this team has managed through three games to score 4 offensive touchdowns. We could talk about the play calling, and we should, because again, this is, to me, play calling that 1,000% is trying to make the players fit the system and not fit the system to the players, which is my biggest gripe as an analyst. It is painfully obvious when a head coach or an offensive coordinator says, we are going to make these guys play our system, instead of saying, we're going to make our system work for these guys. That's what I feel like South Carolina is doing right now. We're going to make these guys fit our system, not make our system fit these guys. By the way, I went and I looked up Shula's history as an offensive coordinator. The very limited success that he's had was at Carolina when he had Cam Newton. And that was what? His rookie year was okay. His middle 2 years were good. You had a Super Bowl run in there where you had a 15-1 season. And then outside of that, he stunk everywhere. I'm at the point now where I looked and I'm like, how does Mike Shula keep getting jobs? Like, how does he keep getting jobs? How did he get this job?
Name?
It, I guess. But again, because I'm going to say later on, just to give you a little sneak preview, Dabo's getting busted up later, because I think if that good old buddy-buddy group he's put together as a coaching staff doesn't get busted up, you're never bouncing back from this, Clemson. Like, this whole good old, I got my boys in here. I got my buddies and my ex-players in here. Well, your coaching staff sucks right now. Like clearly on film. If you don't get rid of the everybody around here is a Clemson guy mentality, you're going to get cooked. Okay? We're coming to that later in the show. But if this was a hiring made on name recognition, that's shameful, dude. That's shameful. I would pay a gazillion dollars to get freaking, what's his face back? Dow Loggins back. Because while I had criticism about Dow Loggins as a hire as the offensive coordinator, you know what I will give Dow Loggins credit for last year? He used Lenoris for the skill set Lenoris Sellers has. Shula's like, here's what I want you to do. Drop back in the pocket. Be a statuesque pocket passer. And if the pocket collapses, then let's use the legs. Del August went, son, you got wheels. Let's get you to the outside. Let's let the natural born talent carry us here. That's what you did last year. This year, not so much. Four touchdowns through three games. That includes an ACC team that lost to Old Dominion, South Carolina State, and an SEC team predicted to finish well in the bottom half of the conference. You've scored four touchdowns so far. Your special teams has you at 2-1. Your special teams has you at 2-1. That's where you're at right now. So I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I genuinely don't know what you want me to say at this point. Like I said, and this will be the last take I have, and we'll circle back around maybe later in the show. The play calling was bad and suspect. Cool. I can deal with that. We can talk about that. We're going to talk about that with Clemson later on. The defense was suspect at times. Cool. We talked about that coming into the season. We knew that the offense was going to have to go out and put up, you know, 35, 36, 37 points on average per game. Because as much talent, and this is a credit to what you put together last year, as much talent as this football team lost to the NFL last year on defense, when we all have to, I think at this point, hindsight being 2020, I think we all kind of have to acknowledge now, the defense carried your team. Like, Lenoris was great, but the defense carried your team last year. The defense was why you were one win away from making the playoffs. And we knew that you were going to take a step back. We knew that you were going to have the offense carry the defense at least for a handful of weeks. Cool, we can talk about that. The one thing coming into this year that I did not think I would spend a minute of time talking about this football team in a year where expectations are, fair or foul, Carolina fans, as high as they've been, let's put a caveat, since Steve Spurrier was here. In a year where the expectations were certainly the highest they've been since I've been here broadcasting and covering your team, the one thing I never thought I'd talk about was effort. And as much as Lonzo took offense to the way I opened the show, fine, fair, I respect that. I don't even think he can disagree. The effort sucked in that game.
The effort wasn't good.
The effort sucked.
But it was, again, you just saw your leader go down. You're seeing how it was handled and all that kind of stuff, that'll mess you up.
Next time that Lonzo calls in sick for a show and I suck, I'm going to be like, boss, my leader went down. The heart and soul went down. What did you expect from me? And I bet he's going to go, come on, bro.
He will completely understand that. I mean,
come on, bro.
I mean, it's very, very understandable. As long as you lament the fact that I'm not here. And
I do every time.
Yeah, okay.
Every time.
You probably should, because you have to do everything.
So, that's why. You know what I have to do when Lonzo's not here, but I'm really glad that he does it when he is here, because he does it way better than Sports Flash.
Wow. Wow. Just to prove you wrong, the Atlanta Braves picked up an 8-3 win against Houston yesterday. Atlanta had 11 hits on the day, including multi-hit days from Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, and Haesung Kim. The Braves kick off a four-game set at Washington tonight. Carolina Panthers are now 0-2 as they fell to the Arizona Cardinals yesterday, 27-22. Bryce Young threw for 328 yards and three touchdowns with one interception, but Carolina had just 49 yards rushing on 19 total carries. Kyler Murray had 220 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. The Atlanta Falcons kept the Vikings out of the end zone in a 22-6 win last night. Bijan Robinson carried the team, racking up 143 yards on 22 carries. Atlanta picked off Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy twice and helped Minnesota to just 78 yards rushing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.